Consumers and employers, are you feeling like you're in the dark when it comes to healthcare and retirement benefits? Don't suffer the bloody trauma of searching for low-cost, and in some cases, no-cost premiums on health insurance. It's a true crime to accept anything less than the best. TrueCare Insurance Services specializes in clearing up those insurance mysteries. Our clients get the best benefits at the lowest costs. Discover the peace of mind that a comprehensive health insurance plan offers for you, for your family, for your employees. TrueCare Insurance Services. Call 713-242-1664 today for a secure tomorrow.
You're listening to FPI Unsolved. In this episode, we're speaking with author Mary Louise Shelton, investigating her newborn brother that was stolen at birth from his deaf mother, and another brother who was murdered for choosing not to marry the girl he got pregnant. An ongoing murder mystery FPI Unsolved is investigating. Here's your host, managing investigator and broadcast producer Regina Romaine.
One of the missing cases we're working on is about a newborn who was stolen at birth from his deaf mother. That was in 1944.
Yes, my mother told me about it, and I was looking for him when she was living. But now that I'm alone, I'm still looking for that brother because I don't have any living siblings.
And also, when we were speaking, Mary, you were saying that both of your parents were deaf, and your mother lived to be 102.
Yes, she sure did. She lived to be 102, and she passed away in 2015. She had a wonderful, long life.
What year was this when they were talking about, oh, she was deaf and dumb?
When he was born in 1944.
Yeah, back in that day,
Yeah, back then they were told they were deaf and dumb. You don't have any rights.
Right. You know, and when you sent me over your brother's birth certificate, looking at the birth certificate, it says your brother was stillborn, but he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. They lied about that. They said that, you know, that was her fourth stillborn child, but that was her first.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, and that's
so
what
they
lied
on that birth certificate.
Right, yeah, and that's what they did back in the day, too. They were already set things up to take your brother. And that's why they did that on that birth certificate, right? You know, you were telling me your mom didn't understand what was on the birth certificate, and she didn't have an interpreter. You know, she couldn't even dispute it. I mean, that's just so wrong. You know, they know that she wasn't going to be able to understand what they were doing, and they could just take her baby, you know, just take the child.
They just said, go home and have another baby. We're just going to take this one from you.
And the hospital has been torn down.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, you know, they made sure they destroyed all the evidence. That's what they were doing. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and see, he's probably still out there. He's older now. But, you know, if we can reach out and just see and find him, you know, where he is.
Sure.
He may not even know of his name, Mary. He may not... You know, like, how did he even know who he is or his name?
That's right. He's probably under a different name and with a different family. But if he's looking for me, I'm looking for him. So,
yeah, there are records out there. Wherever they are out there with him. He's on there somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, they are records, you know. And one of the ways we're tracking your brother, you know, like we're saying, through DNA.
Yes, absolutely. Because I found several cousins, you know, DNA ancestry, you know, so I'm sure that if he's out there in a database.
Yeah, exactly. You know, did your mom see her baby? I mean, your brother, they said the baby was dead.
Yes.
I mean, did she see him?
No, yes, she did see him. Yes, she did.
Okay. And so if you don't mind me asking, I mean, if she saw him, was she even aware that, because I think you told me that she knew he was alive, right? She saw her baby alive. She saw him alive.
Yes.
But they told her he was dead. They told her he was dead. And she saw her baby.
After several days, you know, they told her she wasn't going to go home with the baby. That he was dead, and to forget about it, go home and have another one.
Right. And that's also the roommate in the hospital telling your mom that all deaf and dumb patients had no rights. So... don't have any other children at that particular hospital. And that hospital at that time was Wayne Diagnostic Hospital. I'm going to let everybody know that. Wayne Diagnostic Hospital.
Right. Absolutely correct. That was the name.
And then they put your dad down on the birth certificate as colored. He was white.
Correct.
You say
That's correct.
That's to try to, how I'm going to say this, like misinterpret what they were doing or try to make it sound like, you know, because I guess if they would have put a white man, they got to say color because there's just two colored people and we're not going to help them.
Well, right. They weren't going to help him. They were discouraging that, I imagine.
You know, and also what you said that, and I agree with you, that was a way to hide your brother because it was a biracial baby and to,
correct,
and to threaten them. That's like to threaten them, you know, because.
Of course, yes, it was. It was. And so there wasn't really much that he could do or she could do at that time. They didn't respect handicapped people, period.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Not only that, too. And I'm going to, back in the day at that time, you know, you wasn't allowed to marry, a white man wasn't allowed to marry a black woman. You know, it wasn't no type of biracial. They didn't like any type of biracial anything. You know,
right.
And so they would try to destroy or cover up anything with a black man and a white man and a black woman, a white woman and a black man.
He had to leave North Carolina in order to marry my mother, you know, so because it was illegal here to marry my mother.
You know, later we will be doing a documentary about Mary's story. You know, we would also like to work with actress Marley Matlin on the documentary.
Right,
Mary. Yeah. Because, you know, what we're doing with FBI Justice is we take our cases and we take working with families very seriously. And we want you to have an answer. You know, we want this case to be resolved at some point, somehow, some way.
Well, I would like that, too, because the firstborn was stolen and the lastborn was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two different, you know, aspects of my book, you know, that you're interested in, which I'm, you know, appreciative of. Is that, you know, the first part and the last part, you know, the firstborn was stolen and the last one was murdered. So there's two aspects of the book. And then there's lots of stories in between, you know, that were horrible, you know. So there's lots of aspects of the book.
Right, yeah. And look, Mary, what I want to say is, too, with your book and your history and your family, you know, like we're helping to find missing loved ones, you know, that's like with your brother being stolen at birth, you're looking to find him, you know, and then also with your other brother, you know, that's an unsolved murder.
Correct.
You know, with what FBI Justice works with also, you know, tell us a little bit more about your brother that was murdered, Mary.
That happened in 1976. He was murdered because he didn't choose to marry the girl that he got pregnant, and the one who murdered him, John Outlaw, they were saying in Detroit that, you know, even though he had the blood on his clothing, that it was all circumstantial evidence, you know, that he had. My parents was his alibi. He shot my brother, you know, six times in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, had his hands tied behind his back, and he was found in an empty building. They are saying all of that's circumstantial because of the fact that we don't have a witness and we don't have a gun.
Right.
So the police told me that, oh, you just watch too much TV. Mm-hmm. You know, they kept him 3 days because he had my brother's blood on his clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept him in jail for 3 days, but they're saying, you know, that's still all circumstantial.
Right. I'm still listening to what you said is he used your parents as his alibi.
Yeah.
Because he was there first year
because
he was at
the house. But they didn't hear him leave.
Okay.
He stayed there at my parents' house that weekend because that was the weekend that my brother was out of college for that weekend. But John Outlaw had a Cadillac and he let my brother use his car. And the car was found at that empty building, and he had wiped away all the fingerprints and said that, you know, that there was, but my brother's blood was on John's clothes.
Right.
But they're still saying, you know, that's not, back then there was no DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But he was supposed to have been at my parents' house, and so my parents couldn't hear him leave the house because they were deaf.
Yeah, right. Like
it
just seemed like he staged that from the beginning. He staged that anyway, you know.
Yeah, he did.
He staged that. And it's like you're saying, you have these officers or whoever, you know what I mean? Trying, supposed to be investigating the case. And, you know, they're going to use anything to get away with not solving it, or, you know, talking about it, investigating it. You know, they're going to bring up the DNA or whatever, circumstantial. Oh, coincidence, you know, with too much of a coincidence is usually like what it is anyway. You know, that's correct. Just like, it's correct. All this coincidence is usually
and
what
so
happened.
I had to go identify my brother's body. And I mean, he had, John had my brother's blood on his clothes. And I'm saying, well, he's got blood on his clothes.
Right.
Why in the heck does he got blood? Well, that's circumstantial. You watch too much TV.
Right. But then, see, that's the thing. And then the second part is, okay, we'll find out where the blood came from.
Yeah.
Okay, right. If he's
and
not bleeding.
I don't have to do that. They said you watch too much TV.
Right. See.
You know, so you're telling me that I watch too much. Well, we're going to keep him for 3 days, but, you know, he has an alibi. Your parents are his alibi. Get out of here. I'm telling you.
Right. Anyway, anybody can give an alibi. Yeah, they give an alibi and I'm going to say, okay, so you're saying you're not even investigating with the alibi. Okay, yeah, he was at your parents' house.
Right.
You know, not looking at all the other clues around him.
And you need to produce a gun. They told me I had to produce a witness and a gun. Otherwise, they weren't going to do anything about it.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that I could say, but I'm not.
Right, right.
You know, so I was like, yeah. But we're not going to leave this alone. But no, we're not leaving this alone, Mary. But we're not leaving. Right, yeah, we're not.
And moved here to North Carolina.
Right. But we're not leaving this alone. And it's like people need to be exposed. You know, just like we're solving these cases, you know, we're going backwards also with, you know, exposing the people who put this, you know, who have this out here, or we're not solving the cases or not investigating it correctly, and just kind of want to just brush it under the rug. What, how you say, sweep it under the rug, you know? it's just like, okay, just be done with it. Yeah, just be done with it. You just want to be done with it. It's not your family. You don't care, you know? So, hey, that's what we're saying. So you take it like that. You take it. Take it like that. That's what we said. But no, you don't take it like that, you know? You have to, like I say, you have a voice, and you also have a voice when you wrote that book, you
right,
know, and
exactly,
that's what I say.
Which is why I say silence isn't golden, and you got to really stop saying silence is golden, because it's not golden. You got to say something, do something, and action speaks louder than words.
Exactly. Actions speak louder than words.
Right, exactly, you know? Right. Exactly.
Right. Oh, let me.
And that's why I appreciate you giving me a voice.
Oh yes, yeah. You have a voice with us. I'm gonna be your voice too, because I'm also angry, you know. And I'm gonna shout it out. We're gonna shout it out where we can shout it out and everything. That's when we're setting up doing the documentaries and things, because you know this is not right. It's just not right, you know. And just like you have to be heard, you know. And then like you say, when you you don't want to silence your voice. You're not silencing your voice. You know, because, you know, you have to speak up. You have to speak up and what's wrong, you know, because, you know, it's nothing's going to happen unless you speak up.
That's right.
You know, you got to expose, because that's what people are now. And, you know, I think dealing with officials, police, whoever that think they have power, they look for you not to speak. They're like trying to, you know, keep you in fear or whatever, you know. To say, hey, you know, we don't have to worry about them. They're not going to say anything. Oh, yeah, you don't have a witness, or, you know, whatever.
That's right. And it's not a closed case until it's solved.
Exactly. You know, oh, and let me say this right quick. Don't forget to go to our TikTok page, FBI Justice, to see a visual of our investigation. You know, we put everything on TikTok with what we're investigating.
Yes, I have a book signing again on February the 18th at 1 o'clock at Magnolia House. If anybody here locally is listening to our podcast, please swing by and give Shirley some business too. My book signing, she's honoring all local book authors, and I appreciate her for doing that.
Oh, yes. You know, yes. So if you're out, you're out that way and in that area, yeah, please go to Mary's book signing. Silence isn't golden.
Right, and yes, I'm on Amazon. Please write a review if you buy the book from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Silence isn't golden.
That's exactly right. Silence isn't golden. Well, Mary, I'm going to say again, thank you again for speaking with me. and letting our listeners listen to your story. You know, this is a case we're working on. And, you know, it's just like a lot of things going on in this world that people, you know, you don't know about, but stuff like this is just awful. Things like this are just awful. It just shouldn't have been done. But, you know, things happen in the world. But it's, you know, it's what we have to do to get it back correct, you know, to get it, you know, to get take care of it. You know, it was something that happened. Yeah, it happened back then, but that's not it. You know, it could still be taken care of.
Yes, that's right. God is still on the throne. So, yes, it's still, you know, answers. We still can get answers.
Right. It's like I said in most of the podcasts I do, Mary, it's like no such thing as coincidence when it comes to a criminal investigation. If it sticks out, if it sticks out, it's probably a reason. I'm saying. All right.
Right, Virginia.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
I'd like to thank the audience for listening.
And my guest, check back with us for the next episode. See you next time.
Funded mainly through advertisement and donations, FPI Unsolved is an independent production of FPI Justice for Victims' Families. A 501c3 nonprofit, FPI Unsolved is hosted, directed, and executive produced by Regina Romaine. Follow FPI Unsolved on Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. Our website can be found at fpijustice.org. To find us on Facebook and TikTok, search FPI and FPI Justice.